Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Rommel yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio here on a Sunday afternoon. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got a breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go across town, speak with the one, the only Ryan Callahan. And as you can probably tell by the fact that it's Ryan on here, we got a recruiting edition of a recruiting breaking news edition. We'll call it that. Ryan, please, please, please tell the good people while we're having a breaking news edition of this podcast.
Well, Tennessee has gotten another commitment for their 2022 class. Running back Dylan Sampson committing to Tennessee on Sunday morning. You don't see a lot of these days, but they do happen sometimes during visits still. You get those every once in a while, and this is one of those. You know, kids more often tend to go back home, think on it for a couple days or weeks or months in this case, since it's only June. But, you know, this is one of those sort of old-fashioned commitments where a kid just sort of fell in love with the school, I think, during his first visit and said, you know what, time to shut it down. I found my place. So Tennessee lands Dylan Sampson, running back from Louisiana, and a guy that Tennessee had really gone after for more than 2 months now. They offered him, or re-offered him, I should say, back in late March. The previous staff at Tennessee also had offered him pretty early in the process. Never really went after him, though, with the former staff. This staff much more involved since they offered him back in March, and he appeared to be one of Tennessee's priorities at the running back position. Still a couple others that are on the table that we'll talk about later that Tennessee is hoping to get on campus here within the next couple of weeks. But definitely a guy Tennessee liked a lot, and you see when you turn on his film, you see a lot of speed. That's definitely what you're getting with Dylan Sampson, a guy who ran a 10.48. 100 meters back in March. So a serious upgrade in speed for Tennessee's backfield. Not the biggest running back, listed at 5'10", 180, and maybe even generously listed at 5'10". So not the biggest guy, but you're adding a lot of speed to that backfield with Dylan Sampson, and had 20 plus offers. I think this is a nice pickup for Tennessee, and a guy that Tennessee, again, had pretty high on the board, and one of two running backs they had on campus this weekend on official visits, along with Jordan McDonald. And clearly this addresses a position where they need to continue to get better, I think, after having a couple years where they didn't quite knock it out of the park at that position in recruiting, have some sort of versatile guys there now. This gives them a different kind of skill set with some serious speed.
Yeah, Ryan, I watched this kid's video, and you know me, I'm the probably the greatest expert on recruiting in the entire 24/7 sports network. So that's me coughing in the background. You can hear that. But in all seriousness, I did, you know, I'm not going to do these episodes without watching these kids play. And watching this highlight reel, I wrote down three things: speed, and holy bleep speed. This kid, it looks like he is toying with people as he finishes these touchdown runs. It looks like he's sprinting just as far as he has to, and then he's just jogging the rest of the way because he's already way past everybody.
And plays in a good program at Dutchtown High School, and a program that's definitely put out some talent over the years. And yeah, like you said, the speed is very evident on film. Sometimes you see these guys that have really fast 100 meter times, and they're not always great football players. They have speed that shows up in straight line speed, but they're not necessarily the quickest in and out of cuts, and it's not functional speed on the football field. I think you see a good combination of just pure straight line speed, but also very functional football speed. When you turn on Dylan Sampson's film, he's a good looking running back. And, you know, again, has a frame that's going to allow him to put on a little bit more weight, but probably never going to be the biggest guy. But this gives you a guy that you can sort of move around, do some different things with. You could use him on special teams. Certainly, I think he's capable of returning kickoffs and things like that with that kind of speed. So I think this is, a nice addition at a position where, you know, if you're Tennessee, you're looking to add to or improve the running back position because there are really no seniors on the current roster. You never know who might transfer out, of course, especially with the transfer portal being what it is these days. You never know what that position still might lose in terms of attrition between now and next year, but you don't have anyone scheduled to leave after this season. So you don't necessarily need to add numbers and just stockpile depth at that position. You just need to make it better and try to give yourself a little something different maybe. And certainly with what this staff, what they want to do offensively, easy to envision a sort of speed guy like Dylan Sampson being a good fit in a wide open offense like that and giving Tennessee some versatility out of the backfield.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that too. One thing that's going to be super important at his size, and again, I'm not saying his size is any kind of a disqualifier. You look at, you know, look at that little the little guy Purdue had the past couple of years who just absolutely wrecked people. You know, he wasn't a big guy. You know, you see guys like this still in college football who do these things. But if you are going to be this kind a running back at that size, especially in the SEC, I do think it is absolutely critical that you can get out in space and you can catch the football. And this kid shows on film, at least in a few clips, that he can do that. We see a, you know, a wheel route. We see a bit of a, you know, a bit of a corner route there, you know, that he's got for a touchdown catch. He's going to have to be able to do that at his size, isn't he? I mean, you're not just going to be able to hand this kid the ball. You're going to have to throw it to him also.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And that's, you know, not to make it sound too much like he's just going to be an all-purpose type who lines up all over the field slot and things like that. But you can do some of that with him, I think. He has that kind of skill set, sort of a, you know, whatever name you want to pull out from the past, you know, whether it's, you know, an Alvin Kamara to Jalen Hurd, you know, that Kamara was even a bigger guy, but had that sort of skill set. You know, you can use a guy like this in certainly a complementary role, use him to split carries with somebody. You know, there's a path for him to be a big part of Tennessee's backfield in the future, I think. But you don't envision a guy like this necessarily being an every down back just because you want somebody a little bit bigger sometimes to carry a portion of the load. But this guy can be that versatile guy out of the backfield who can catch passes, could even line up in the slot sometimes, can help on special teams. I think it's a nice compliment to what Tennessee already has. In the sense that maybe you have a guy a little bit like him in Jabari Small, but even he's not the speed guy, but, you know, build wise, Small sort of reminded you of this coming out of high school with his stature and everything. But you've otherwise got some bigger guys. You know, you've got Tyon Evans, who is a really, really thick, well-built kid. You've got Dee Beckwith, who's, you know, 6'4". You've got Lanith Whitehead, who's a big, you know, former linebacker playing running back. You've got some big, big guys, T. Hodge. So this gives you some speed. It upgrades the speed at that position, and it gives you something that complements those guys pretty well. So if everything stays mostly status quo at that position, this gives you someone you can easily envision being a complement to those guys, sort of a out there maybe half the time while you have a bigger guy out there the other half. However you divide up the carries, this is someone who can definitely fit into the offense and do a lot of different things.
Well, it wasn't so long ago that a player with comparable size to his, at least in some ways, Travis Stevens, carried the ball nearly 300 times for Tennessee as a senior. And I know that football players maybe, you know, weren't, you know, maybe sports science hadn't quite caught up to make them the absolute freaks across the board that they are now. But we're just talking 20 years ago, right? I mean, that's not that long ago. And he carried the ball, I think, about 25 times per game as a senior. So I don't want to pigeonhole this kid as a third down back. I'm just saying that it seems to me like at his size, with his speed, that's something that needs to be sort of in his tool bag, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, that's not to say he can't be eventually an every down back or you know, workhorse number 1A back in a backfield in the SEC. But it is a little bit more challenging when you're not that big guy. But this skill set, I mean, this is where the game is headed. You know, so many times you see these electric backs that are not always the biggest, you know, and NFL teams often have tandems that you have one guy like this and another guy who's a little bit bigger. You want to have this on your team and you want this to be part of your offense. And I think that's certainly the case in a Josh Heupel like offense. When you have an offense like this that wants to sling it all over the place, run at a fast pace, make big plays and score quickly. This is a good fit for what Tennessee does offensively. It's not that you're going to see them go after nothing but running backs like this. I certainly don't think that's the case, and we've seen them recruit some other types of guys in this class at running back. But when again, when you see what Tennessee had on the roster, it makes sense to add a guy like Dylan Sampson to what they already had. And again, upgrade the speed, give you some explosiveness at that position that I don't think they've currently got really among the guys on the roster. So this is a nice pickup. And I think in the future, you certainly could see him making some big plays in Tennessee's offense. And again, giving them some different options and how they use it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's I think after watching this spring, and again, I had the horrible food poisoning, so I wasn't able to watch the spring game, which live anyways, which sucked, but was able to go back and watch it. And from the things that we've seen watching Heupel in the past, I almost call this kind of a Leroy Jenkins offense, because you think about the days where, you know, traditionally where you would sort of, you know, student body left, student body right. You try to set up things for later in the game, and then you take your vertical shots here and there, just kind of try to catch people off guard with them. Whereas this is kind of a Leroy Jenkins offense where they're going full speed and they're going for your jugular pretty much on every single snap. And that's what they're doing. And if you want to do that, having kids like this, having players like this, I think helps that, because you need that speed component in an offense like this. I don't think you know, it's a deal breaker in terms of you can't win games, but if you want to consistently put points on the board at a pretty high clip, you got to have guys who athletically can do that for you. You got to have guys who can, you know, get behind the secondary and not get caught. You got to have those kinds of guys. And so I think that's critical. Ryan, before we go to break, Dylan Sampson, you know, I look at his speed on film. I like it a lot. I like what he can do as a player. There are lots of things to like about this commitment. What I'm wondering is it just the size that's made him sort of ranked where he is, which is not terrible, but it's obviously he's not, you know, anywhere near like the top 247 or anything like that. And we could see updates could go on later and he could end up blowing up. We don't know. But when you look at some of his offers, chose Tennessee over Louisville, Vanderbilt, Purdue, and others, it's not like we're talking Bama, Georgia, others. Is that just a size thing with him? Because he plays, as you said, at a high level at a good school. So is it just his size that has some people skittish a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of why, you know, you haven't seen LSU go after him yet, and you haven't seen other SEC schools besides Vanderbilt battling for him. But that, you know, I wouldn't get too discouraged about that. I tell people all the time, running back is one of those positions where there's a lot of talent to go around, and you can find some good players.
Oh, yeah.
That are not necessarily top 247 guys, not five-star guys. We've seen it before at Tennessee, obviously. So I think you can count on Dylan Sampson still being a very productive player in college if he lives up to what Tennessee is expecting, just based on what we've seen again in high school at playing at a pretty high level in Louisiana, and also just the what that kind of speed can do. I mean, look at how many players in college football can even run a 10.48 in the 100 meters. I don't know if there's anyone on Tennessee's roster right now who can run that fast. So
Hyatt,
this is
Jalen Hyatt maybe.
Yeah, Hyatt, that's a good point. Hyatt might be, and I'm not even sure if that's the case. I don't know his 100-meter time right off the top of my head, but he would be in that discussion for sure. But he might be the only one who's right there with him. So this is some serious, serious speed you're talking about. And a guy that runs track well enough in high school that he wants to finish high school so he can go back and have his senior track season next year, so he won't be an early enrollee. But, yeah, I think the size is probably the knock on him, I guess you could say. But I wouldn't let that be too much of a deterrent if you're a Tennessee fan wondering kind of what to think about this. I mean, you obviously you can look at the other official visits. He went to Purdue last weekend. He was going to go to Louisville next weekend, Vanderbilt the weekend after that. Louisville, I think he felt was a school that fit him well because they had a running back sort of like him in the not too distant past, and he saw them have success there. And then Vanderbilt, you know, I think he felt that new staff was exciting, and Jeff Braun, that, you know, that offense at Purdue, I think he'd seen, you know, guys like him succeed there, but
oh, yeah, big time.
I think he feels in the SEC, he's got the talent to play at that level. You know, he's a smart kid, you know, that's also reflected in the schools he was looking at, you know, interested in engineering, I think, and Vanderbilt and Purdue, you know, both schools that could have fit that bill with the academic side of things. So I think he was very interested in those level schools also. But yeah, just one of those guys that for whatever reason so far hasn't attracted a lot of other SEC schools. But I still think this is a guy that you're going to look back on in 6 months and say, Tennessee got a pretty good running back in this class. If Dylan Sampson ends up being the guy, and assuming they hold on to him, and he says he's shutting things down. So we'll see how that goes in the coming months. But I think this is one of those guys you get early on and you don't really think twice about it. I think this is a nice pickup for Tennessee and someone that's got a chance to be a pretty productive player in Tennessee's offense.
Yeah, commits during an OV and then says immediately he's shutting it down. That's about as old school as it gets. I wonder if this kid – I'm surprised that he plays with gloves on at this point, you know. He probably should just maybe put a tape on a couple fingers, you know, old Ronnie Lott style or whatever. But
and you know what? If fans sometimes are into this, just a little interesting note. He, you know, we talked with him Sunday morning immediately after his official visit, and you know, he didn't worry about how he was announcing his commitment. He just, you know, let us go ahead and put it out, and that's kind of refreshing and old school too. So many kids these days are you know, want to schedule a ceremony or get a commitment edit or video ready. He wasn't worried about that. He just wanted to go ahead and tell people and wasn't concerned about how the news got out. So that's also, you know, sort of interesting too. And I think reflects that, you know, he's a little bit of a throwback in that way and not a kid seeking attention, certainly, like a lot of players are.
I think that's interesting. Maybe he lets his game speak for himself, because on film it's a pretty loud game. So lots of exciting stuff there. But we need to talk about whether this might be the only running back in Tennessee's class, or whether Tennessee changes things up a little bit, goes for a different style of back, maybe wants to add another back of, you know, of this caliber with these kind of strengths to his game. Lots and lots to discuss here about Tennessee and the running back position in general in this recruiting class. A couple other notes too. But before we do that, we are well overdue for a commercial break, so we're going to step away for just a second, pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, etc., and be right back here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town. Speaking about Tennessee's newest commitment to the 2022 class, Dylan Sampson, a speedy running back from Louisiana who has committed to the Vols after an official visit this weekend. Just told the staff he wanted to commit, told recruiting analysts such as Ryan he did not care how that information was projected to the world. So a very old school kid, a very, very fast kid, runs really, really well on film. Lots and lots to discuss about him. We got a lot more. We're going to talk about that. And by the way, we're also going to have, I should mention this now, if you're wondering about baseball coverage this week, we are going to have a recap, you know, kind of a breaking pod after Tennessee, you know, either wins or loses this super regional against LSU. That's going to be the second game is about to start here in about 90 minutes from as we're recording this. So Tennessee won the first game. So Tennessee needs to win one of the next two, and it will get to Omaha. We will have win, lose, or draw. We'll have something after that for you to discuss. Plenty of people wanting to discuss all of that. So we got plenty to talk about there. We got plenty more to talk about with Tennessee football in this episode. Before we do that, though, just a quick reminder, guys, take a minute or two out of your day right now. Please go in and rate and review this podcast. Please mash that subscribe button, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast a fine pod, you can find the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. And we do this for free. We're happy to do it. We really are. But we ask for one thing in return. Actually, we ask for two things. One, please go in there, subscribe, rate, and review. Please, that helps us so much. If you're listening on the site, that's fine, man. We love you. We're happy that you're doing it. That helps us too. But what really helps us is if you go in there and hit the subscribe button, rate, and review. That's one thing. And the second thing, tell your friends. It's not that hard to do. Just tell your friends and family, hey, you guys like the podcast thing? We got a Tennessee sports one here for you. So please keep doing those things. I know a lot of y'all are doing it. We can see that. We can see the numbers. They're awesome. We appreciate what everyone's doing. But that's the one thing that we would ask for. And if you want to go get the best news, best Tennessee coverage on all of Al Gore's internets, go to govols247.com. Go check that out. Ryan, quickly, as we move on here in the second segment, is this it for Tennessee at running back in this class, or could things sort of, if it's the right kind of guy, could there be more? Because I know numbers are kind of at a premium for different reasons. So what's your stance on that?
Yeah, in a class where Tennessee has so many needs, and again, no running backs that are going into their final year in the program where you expect to lose, a couple after this season or anything like that, it might be not a guarantee, I think, for sure, that Tennessee takes a second running back. There is a chance Dylan Sampson is the only guy. Now, with that being said, we've seen Tennessee continue to recruit other running backs, and I think there still certainly is room for a top target to squeeze in at that position. Dallin Hayden in state is a four-star guy that's a Tennessee legacy, son of former Vol Aaron Hayden. He is obviously the type of guy Tennessee is not going to turn away. Tennessee still has some ground to make up in that one. That's been an interesting recruitment, to say the least, with Ohio State kind of having been the team to beat for more than 6 months now, and he's scheduled to go on his official visit to Ohio State next weekend.
Because and his daddy loves the Vols, Ryan. That kid, I mean, Aaron Hayden is like a loves UT as much as anyone does.
He does, and how that plays out in the end will be fascinating, but there is certainly a chance that Ohio State lands him this month, and if that's the case, Tennessee still might work to try to flip Dallin Hayden if it plays out that way, but that's that official visit to Ohio State next weekend, certainly worth watching. And also whether Tennessee can get him on campus after that trip to Ohio State. There's at least been some talk of him visiting Tennessee at the end of this month. And then also coming in that final weekend of June, Branson Robinson, a big-time running back from Mississippi, Tennessee battling Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, some big-time programs in there. It's probably more of a Georgia-Clemson-Tennessee battle now, with Alabama having a couple of running backs in its class already. So Georgia-Clemson, maybe LSU still in the picture, but definitely a big-time battle, and Tennessee in the thick of it still, if not the team to beat, definitely one of the teams to watch still, with a lot of people viewing Georgia as the favorite for him. But that's one Tennessee, if they're going to take that official visit, no doubt, as long as he remains uncommitted between now and then, and if things play out that way and you can get a guy like Branson Robinson, you're not going to turn him away. You're not going to turn away a guy like Dallin Hayden. So I think they're still willing to take a second running back if it's the right one, if it's a big time guy that upgrades the roster. But I'm not sure they would take just another running back to get a second one in this class with so many other needs. So we saw Jalen Glover from Florida visit last week. Jordan McDonald visited this week in addition to Dylan Sampson. Guys like that this might close the door on them, at least temporarily, for having a spot in Tennessee's class. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But certainly, I don't think the door is shut on anyone like Dallin Hayden, Branson Robinson, anyone like that Tennessee might be able to land. I think they're going to continue to recruit those kinds of big-time running backs.
Yeah, I think it's easy to pigeonhole sort of stylistically what Tennessee would want from the running back position because, a lot of us, football is such a much more expansive game than it used to be. It used to kind of be played in a phone booth in some ways. It used to be kind of called the old fist fight in a phone booth. Now it's sort of out there in the open. It's sort of, it's sort of horizontal warfare as much as anything else now because you got the field so stretched. But still, I don't think that Tennessee is only going to want running backs like this. Now we're talking about a really small sample size here because we're talking about one spring where a coaching staff is trying to figure out what they're going to do with certain players. But I was kind of interested to see what they were going to do with Dee Beckwith in the spring, because that's a kid who is at least 6'4", maybe 6'5", looks like, you know, what you consider almost more of like a tight end in the old days or like a big wide receiver. But he played running back for the last half because Tennessee needed bodies there, and he was a guy who, despite his build, athletically could do that and could do it pretty well. And he stayed there in the spring. So I think that, to me, was an indication that they're not just going to try to get a bunch of 180, 190-pound kind of speed guys. I think they're going to want different kinds of players. But I also think, Ryan, for this offense, you absolutely, absolutely have to have kids like Sampson to kind of make this offense what it should be.
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, this offense is based on going fast and sometimes scoring fast. You're going to see a lot of scoring drives that probably don't last more than 2 or 3 minutes. A lot of them, maybe 90 seconds or less. So to have those kinds of scoring drives, you want a quick strike offense. Well, having a fast running back that can break a big play at any time is a good way to do that. They want wide receivers, for that matter, who have that kind of speed, who can take a short pass and go the distance. So you're going to see this staff continue to pursue speed across the board, I think, and that's a little bit different in some ways maybe from what the former staff did. Even in some cases, though, you would see Jeremy Pruitt's staff go after these types of backs. If it was someone fast enough and explosive enough, that they would go after smaller running backs, because everybody knows now you've got to have that kind of speed. They just weren't able to land that type of back really with any consistency. Certainly they got a guy like Eric Gray, who also wasn't the biggest back, but was also a little bit different because straight line speed wasn't always his strength, but he was just very quick. Yeah. So you certainly see different offenses across college football wanting complementary backs like this, where a guy like Dylan Sampson can have a home. But certainly in this offense in particular, I think it is important to have that kind of speed. And to your point, we've already seen Tennessee in this class go after a variety of running backs. You know, I mentioned Branson Robinson. He's 5'10", 220. He's a bigger, kind of built like a Cam Akers type, a thicker, just an every down back is kind of what Branson Robinson projects as. And he could play in basically any type of offense. Dallin Hayden is about, 200 pounds or so and good speed, but a little bit bigger than Dylan Sampson. And then Jordan McDonald, who was in this weekend on an official visit, he's in the 215 to 220 range and sort of a versatile guy, but still big. And then Jalen Glover last week, 5'7", 195 or so, sort of short and stocky. So you've seen a variety of body types, a variety of skill sets. I think this staff's going to be willing to sort of piece it together and take some guys who are a little bit bigger, take some guys who are a little bit smaller, find different roles for them. You know, you might see two or three backs playing at a time when this offense really has it going and has the personnel it wants. So certainly there's a role for a guy like Dylan Sampson in any offense, but especially in this one. And based on what we've seen so far, I think they're going to go after a variety of types of running backs.
Yeah, and when you're talking about numbers too, Ryan, I'm wondering, and again, I say this as someone who is 100% pro portal. I've been wanting something like the portal for a long time. I think that it's something that college football, if you want to be fair to these athletes, I think that's something that's fair to have them do, because coaches can move whenever they want, yada, yada, yada. My point is, even though I'm someone who is very pro portal, I am very, very understanding of the difficulty that coaches have to go through now when you're talking about finding fits and finding terms of sort of numbers by position per recruiting class. And it's easy to sit there and say, you know, in the old days, you could look at a chart and be like, well, unless this kid blows his knee out, he's going to finish his career here. He's going to play, 3, 4, 5 years. And so we know we're going to need X amount of running backs, probably X amount of receivers, X linemen, X linebackers, and then we'll fill a couple needs with best, just the best player available. Now, with the way this portal works, it has got to be so difficult to figure out. It's almost like going into a class now, you can't sit there and say, well, definitely need an extra running back in this class, or nah, we don't need any more running backs in this class, because you just don't know. So I wonder if now you almost find yourself just within, you have a couple parameters that you can't negotiate, But outside of that, you just take the best players you can get and try to fit a team to that. Is that oversimplifying it, Ryan? Or it just seems to me like it's really, really difficult to try to figure out how many guys per position are going to be recruited in each cycle now.
Yeah, I think that is harder for sure. And I think for coaches, it maybe makes it harder. I don't think you ever stop recruiting guys at this position or at any position. And this is a good example of why. I think in the transfer portal era, I think you're going to have to continue to keep doors open, because maybe by the end of the season, you get a better sense that, hey, somebody's looking to move on after this season. I think we're going to need another running back or need another receiver, whatever position it is. So I think that is something you have to keep in mind, and you've got to keep every option in play until signing day, because you just don't know what might happen. And thankfully for SEC schools, they will know by February 1st, it looks like, if a player is looking to enter the transfer portal. So that gives you a chance to sort of play it out and address that in recruiting maybe a little bit more so than if someone leaves after spring practice and it's too late in the year to really find anybody. So you've got to keep recruiting those other running backs. You know, even if the door looks like it might be closed for some players at running back now with the addition of Dylan Sampson, you keep those doors open because, again, you just don't know. And then they could move Lanith Whitehead to linebacker. You know, there are always position changes. You mentioned D. Beckwith's versatility. Position changes could always have a role in that, in deciding what Tennessee might need at a position. So, yeah, I wouldn't close the door on any position these days, knowing what the transfer portal and other factors might do. But that is definitely one of the things that makes it tough to say for sure how many a school is going to sign at any position. And also, how much room will they save for transfers next year? You know, do you only want to sign 20 in a class because you want to save room for a handful of transfers? You know, will Tennessee face any sanctions that result in scholarship losses? There are multiple reasons the numbers are hard to figure out sometimes, and especially this year for Tennessee.
Yeah, and Ryan, before we get out of here, I'm curious about this too. We said going in fact, one of our podcast episodes last week was the point of it was discussing just how important this month is for Tennessee recruiting-wise. It was important to get a couple commitments, but more than that, it was important to really kind of build some momentum with some guys. We've got a lot of VIP stuff that I don't think we're quite comfortable giving away on the podcast just yet. Apologies for that, but you can go to GoVols247.com for the full Monty if you're looking for all the coverage on all of that. We're just kind of tease you a little bit here. Sorry for that, but sorry, not sorry, I should say. But Ryan, anything you can say about or you're comfortable talking about with just sort of where things are with some visitors from this weekend? I know there were some official guys in. You know, it was a big week for things. Just where do things stand with this class and what's been going on this week?
Yeah, it's actually been a pretty big week for Tennessee to get guys on campus, not just the 7 official visitors this weekend, but some pretty good unofficial visitors too. There've been some highly ranked class of 2023 prospects in town, even this weekend. Also a couple of in-state targets in the 2022 class back on campus. Cody Jones, the Michigan commitment from Memphis, was back in town this weekend on an unofficial visit. Grayson Morgan, the offensive tackle from MBA in Nashville, also visiting this weekend unofficially. So it's been a pretty good week for Tennessee in terms of getting some unofficial visitors on campus, again, including some big-time 2023 players, some top 100 guys in that class. So it's been a nice week for them. An interesting weekend of official visitors, because maybe not as many big-name guys in terms of who Tennessee's been known to be chasing for months, but some interesting players who are very much in play, I think. You know, Elik Iomanor, a wide receiver from Massachusetts who's originally from Canada, has a background, I think, that's sort of similar to Josh Palmer's, being from Canada and moving to the U.S. to play high school football. He was in town this weekend on official. I think Tennessee's got a shot at him coming out of that visit. Still a few visits left for him to take, but that's one I think Tennessee is in play with. And then certainly Ben Roberts from Utah, a defensive lineman, and Bishop Thomas, a defensive lineman from Florida, both legitimate options on the defensive line. So Dane Shore, an offensive line target from Georgia. It was a pretty big weekend for Tennessee. Dane Shore, probably the biggest name out of those in terms of as a prospect, but some guys that Tennessee's been after pretty hard this spring that came in on official visits and had never been to Tennessee before for the most part, and really, I think, came away impressed. So this was a good weekend for Tennessee, and it capped off honestly a pretty big week of visits. It was a nice turnout of unofficial visitors, and we've got it all covered for you right now on GoVols 24/7, and plenty more coverage on the way later.
I think that's a good place to leave it, unless you got anything else, Ryan.
No, I think it's a good place to leave it. And again, just stay tuned to GoVols 24/7. Two more big visit weekends coming up for Tennessee before this wild month of June shuts down. So stay tuned. This is definitely not the end of the June recruiting coverage. We're just now almost halfway through it. And there's a lot that still might happen in the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye out if you're interested in following all these recruiting developments.
And if you're not interested, what the hell's wrong with you? That's my opinion. Appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Wes.
And there's the music. So I'm going to thank y'all for listening. Guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. We always say it. We always mean it. We really, really appreciate it. We're not just saying that. We really appreciate y'all listening. Thank you for spending part of your day, whatever day it is. Thank you for spending part of it with us. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P. Brown 24/7 on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news, nothing else, you can get that on Twitter at twitter.com/govols247. You can also go to facebook.com/govols247, and that page is updated all the time with tons and tons and tons of information. Not just Tennessee stuff on there, but mostly things that either we think you as Vol fans want to know about the Vols or about something else in the state of Tennessee or the SEC, etc. Lots and lots of good stuff there. But if you want the best, most delicious East Tennessee Mountain spring water right from the tap, you can go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball, with those guys marching on to Omaha. Hopefully, they're hopefully getting that wrapped up this weekend. We'll see about that. Also, Lady Vols coverage with award-winning Maria Cornelius, who does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us. And quick PSA, go check out everything she's been saying about Nikki Anasicki on Twitter recently, with her having twins and having been in the hospital for a long time. And, you know, there's a lot of bills that go with that. So there's a GoFundMe. You can go help Nikki Anasicki out, former Lady Vol national champion, Lady Vol for life. Gave a lot to the program, and now she could use some help too. So please go look into that. That would mean a lot to us if you could go look into that. That would be awesome. But you can get all of that at govols247.com, and we got two forums, the Checkerboard and the Summit, running round the clock with information about Tennessee sports and just water cooler conversation about life. As long as it's not political or religious in nature, you can put it on there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we will respond to you. That is our job. Do not be afraid. Once you pay us to do a job, expect us to do that job, and don't apologize for asking us to do so. You can get all of that for the less than one freaking mediocre lunch per month. That's all. That's all it is, guys. It is such a good deal. Please go take advantage of that. And if you do pay us the full price, which again, after a free trial, is still less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity. As long as you're a paying member with us, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which used to be CBS All Access. Now it's Paramount Plus, the streaming platform of CBS Viacom. I've told you in every episode what's in there, but I'm telling you, it's awesome stuff. Go check it out. Movies, shows, live sports, big live sports too. Big live sports like college football, Tennessee football, SEC stuff, call it NCAA tournament. You got NFL, PGA Tour, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, all sorts of CONCACAF stuff this summer. Tons and tons of stuff on there, guys. So go check that out. And you get that for free. So if you're paying us, why don't we go ahead and give you a $100-plus annual value for free? That's a hell of a deal. Go check it out. If nothing else, you should hear from us as soon, just a few hours or so, knock on wood, after Tennessee finishes that super regional series with LSU. So that should be just the next couple days. So, guys, be good. Until then, we'll see you.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.